Let us pray. Let us pray as we go to the words of God. Lord, guide us in your spirit, that as we hear your word this morning, our lives may be open to receive life to which you call us. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture lesson is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16 in the New. And why did I draw a blank? It would be found in the New Testament. I don't know if I'll find it. But anyways, I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. You can find it on page 193 through 194 if you care to read along with me to make sure that I'm reading it right, because I seem to be losing it. Okay. I therefore, the prison in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gift he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So sometimes you have a plan and a schedule and even an idea of what things are going to look like. And sometimes you've announced all of that publicly. And then sometimes that changes. That happened to me the past few weeks. As you know, I had I was gone for a week a few weeks ago. I had the opportunity to go away to participate in a program that our denomination has for newish pastors called Credo. It's not just a getaway or a retreat. There's a lot of homework involved beforehand, and a lot of taking stock of a lot of things and prayerfully thinking through things. And one of the consequences of this is that I spent a good amount of time reflecting and thinking through a lot of things, and I realized I needed to change something. And I know some of you now are getting worried about what I'm going to say. Don't worry, it's probably not what you think. It might be worse, I don't know, but it's probably not what you think. Originally, back at the beginning of September, I talked about and laid out our plan for sermons and what we're going to be looking at through the through the fall. I talked about how we were going to be spending most of the time this fall following the lectionary epistle readings, the letters in the New Testament, which would have us in a little bit in 1 Timothy, and then a bit in 2 Timothy, and then we were going to end up in some in 2 Thessalonians, and then somewhere in there later this fall, towards the end of November, it would be stewardship time, and we'd be making our pledges of giving to the church for the next year around then, and so we'd touch on that a little bit there at the end of November. That was the preaching plan I had worked out, but I was given some opportunity to think and reflect, which is always a dangerous thing to do, and I realized that we're going to start way sooner than that. We're going to start talking about things like giving and money, right? This is where it might be worse than what you were thinking before. We're going to start now talking about things like giving and money and stewardship right now, and we're going to keep doing that right on through November. So we're going to spend a good chunk of this fall with all these things in mind. But we're going to do it maybe a little differently, because I want us to look at it this year, to look at things like giving and even things like the church budget and money for things like this program over here or that activity over there and even this electric bill the church has and that fund over there, all these things. But I want us to look at them not just as a list of numbers and budgets and bills that we have to meet, but rather to begin to look at all of that more as the story that we are telling, right? As this particular church, right? The story that we are telling as this particular church, even as we are a part of the one larger church. The story that the universal church, right? Broadly speaking, the universal church, the story that we are called to tell is the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our universal calling, to tell and proclaim and bear witness in what we say and what we do to that. But this always comes about in particular ways, in particular places. That's how God has always worked, right? In the particular stories of history and people and places. And so we, as this local church, as this thing called Calvin Presbyterian Church, we are called to tell the story of Jesus. But God has placed us here with the particular gifts and talents and personalities and passions and interests of us and of this place. And so the way we tell and proclaim and bear witness to the story of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, is particular and unique. And it might change in different ways over the years, right? I know many of you have been here for many, many years, and you can look back and see how things have changed. Ways that the church engaged the community in mission and evangelism and those sorts of things may have changed over the years. It's not the good news of Jesus that doesn't change. But our story and the way we tell it within that larger story of Jesus, it does. And so that's what I want us to look at, even as we are also beginning to think about money and budgets and giving and all of those sorts of things. And one of the lenses I want us to look through when we do this is Calvin Presbyterian Church's mission statement. Does anyone remember what it is? Does anyone remember that we have one? Okay, good. All right. Here it is. It's printed on the bottom of the back of the bulletin. It's printed there every week, so let's all memorize it. Here it is. We are a Christ-centered community, welcoming all in hope and grace as we worship God, grow in faith, and serve one another. Right? So this mission statement, it says something about who we have heard God calling us to be, doesn't it? It says something about how we have heard God calling us to tell the story of the good news of Jesus. And therefore, it also says a little something of the story of who we are. Right? So here's the question. What does it say about us, about who we are? What does it say? We're a family of God. Yeah, that's how we understand who we are, a part of the family of God. What else? Jackie. Welcome, right? Hospitality, welcome, right? Christ-centered. Yeah, yeah, that's foundational to who we are and everything that we do, right? Yeah, this says something about actually a lot of those things that are on the wall over there. I know, coincidentally enough, I guess. Right, it talks about how the story that we are telling is a story that holds up the importance of community. Right, that's in there, the community or fellowship, of welcoming, of a hospitality that reaches out. And the importance of worship founded on Christ, right there in the middle of it. We are fundamentally a worshiping community, and everything flows out of that. And it tells of the story of the importance of being a place where we can grow in faith, where discipleship and Christian education happens, and where we serve one another, engaging in mission and ministry both here and outside these walls. All these different parts, these different angles, these different manifestations of the one good news of Jesus story that we are called to tell. This passage from Ephesians, it comes at the beginning of the second half of this letter. The first half of Ephesians is Paul going into all this profound theological understanding of what Jesus has done and what grace is all about and what salvation and redemption is. And he's getting into all this really deep, big picture look at the good news of Jesus. And then at the end of chapter 3, it's an amazing prayer that he has for the church. And then, beginning in chapter 4, where we picked up this morning, the letter transitions into how all of that that came before, how all of that plays out in the particulars of life. That's why our passage this morning began with the words, "I therefore, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." Excuse me. And then here he goes. "Making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." That's central to this life lived as God's people, central to the Christian life, a life lived in the midst of what Jesus has done and is doing, is unity. We're all in this together. So Paul goes on. Excuse me. So Paul goes on. "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all." There is one. There is one. There is one. Do you hear that refrain running through everything there? He's talking about the unity of God's people by talking about the unity of God. There's one body and one Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what binds us together as one people of God, and it is what continues to draw us in hope closer and closer to God. And then there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Jesus is the Lord. He is the object of our faith. Our trust is in Him. We trust in His life, and in His death, and in His resurrection. And this is the baptism into which we are baptized. Because what baptism is a sign and a seal of the promise of our being incorporated into the life of Christ, and therefore into the body, into the community of Christ, the one body of Christ. And finally, Paul speaks of one God and Father through the work of Jesus. The Holy Spirit draws us into the family of God, and we are now the children of God, siblings of one another, and children of our heavenly parent. And so as Paul begins talking about the unity of God's people, he starts talking about the Trinity, that mysterious Christian doctrine that says the nature of God is that there's three persons and yet one, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, but one God, three persons, one God. There is diversity and unity at the same time in who God is. And so it shouldn't come as a surprise to us that the church that God has called and formed to proclaim and bear witness to this, likewise does so in a variety, in a diversity of ways. And so Paul then begins to talk about the variety of diverse gifts that God has given to the church. The gifts he gave were that some would have the gift of apostleship, and some would have the gift of prophecy, and some the gift of evangelism, and others the gift of being pastoral or the gift of teaching. All these different ways that God works to, Paul says, that God works to equip the saints. And that word saints, it doesn't mean people who are better than other people. That's just Paul's way of saying you and me and everyone who follows Jesus. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. In other words, all these different ways, through worship, through outreach, through fellowship, through service, through care for others, through discipleship and education, all these different and diverse ways that the one story of the good news of Jesus is being told through the one church. Because the reality is, as we talked about with the children, is that all of us have different gifts. And that's one of the reasons in this church, for example, we have different areas, right? Different committees and things like that people work on. All of us get really excited about some things. Some people love to plan social and fellowship times. Others of us do not. Some love to patiently help children understand the gospel, our Sunday school and vacation Bible school teachers. Others do not. Some love to help lead in worship. Others do not. Some prefer more background tasks. Some are love to engage their imagination when it comes to finding new ways to reach out into the community. Others are maybe more comfortable and better at quietly and steadfastly showing up during the week to make sure the building and the grounds are in order for whatever's coming next. And we could go on and on all morning listing all manner of things that it takes to make this place be what it's called to be. These are all part of who we all are as individuals and together, which is why Paul ends this passage with that great image of different parts of the body all working together to be one body. We must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth, building itself up in love. Different gifts, different aspects, different individual callings perhaps, but all in service to our one calling, to bear witness to and to tell the story of the one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But this does not mean that we then just go find our niche and then we get to ignore everything else. Because there's no unity in that, right? There's diversity, yes, but then there's no unity. And so this is where one of the things we get into is thinking about giving and stewardship and even things like church budgets and therefore even things like money. Because the truth is, when you give to the church, you're giving to all of these things, not just the particular ones that you're involved in. You're enabling, you're helping the whole church to be equipped to engage in all of these aspects of telling the story of Jesus. Excuse me. And when we do that, what we're saying is no matter what my niche is, no matter what my gifts happen to be, all of it together is what really matters. All of it coming together. Because you see, church budgets, they are storytellers. They tell us where we are. They tell a story of who we are in the time and place that God has called and placed us as we engage in our part of telling that one larger story of Jesus. And so what we're going to do over the next month and a half is using our church mission statement as a lens. Look at who we are as a church. The story of who God has called and is calling us to be, all of us together. And we're going to do that with an eye on this thing called stewardship and pledges and giving and budgets and all of that. Because what I want us to begin to do is to think already this early in the season about these things, giving and budgets and all of those things, not as, what do we have to do to just keep things going for another year? But rather, to think about them in terms of what sort of story is God calling us to tell? What's the story of who we are in the midst of that great story God is telling and writing in Jesus Christ? And so, just as one example, part of our yearly budget is for very mundane, budgety, and maybe even annoying things like the electric bill. But, what if the question around that wasn't so much, what do we have to scrape together to get this bill paid? But rather, what if the question we asked ourselves instead was, what stories are being told and are able to be told because the lights turn on? What stories of people gathering to worship God together? What stories of comfort offered to a grieving family? What stories of children in Sunday school singing together and learning about Jesus' love for them? What stories of time spent around a table in the fellowship hall strengthening old friendships or cultivating brand new ones? What stories, the larger community of which we are a part here in Cumberland, are being told of gathering for things like the Easter egg hunt or the back to school backpack program or the upcoming trunk or treat? What are the stories that are able to be told because the lights come on? Because it is in the particulars of all these kinds of things, of all the particulars of community and a hospitality that reaches out, and of worshiping together with all the different personalities and the particulars of gifts that God has given this community, and of our growth and discipleship playing out in the midst of our very particular lives, and of responding in service to the particular needs that we have and that we see unfolding around us, it is in the midst of these stories that the larger story of Jesus is being told. It is in these things that we actually live out who God has called us to be. So the gifts that God has given is that some here would dive deep into mission and service. And some would be teachers and Bible study leaders, some caregivers and others prayer warriors, some to sit on the worship committee and others to work with buildings and grounds, still others to remind us all of what is good and true, some to lead an imagination and vision for where God might next be calling us to go or do, excuse me, some to use the beauty of art and music to call us out of ourselves, and still others to help make sure that the lights stay on, the bulletins are handed out, chairs are set up, and the bathrooms are clean and welcoming. All of this, and so much more, given to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity and to the full measure and full stature of Christ. The story that we tell through these things, this is how we tell the story of Jesus. And so over the next month or so, we're going to be looking at these different areas and looking at how they help tell the story of Jesus, the story of the gospel, as a way to frame and ground what this whole thing of stewardship is really about. Because if it's just about paying a bill, if it's just about covering someone's salary, scraping together enough to keep a few things going for another year, what's the point? But if it's about all these different ways to tell the story of Jesus, and if it's about coming to a deeper understanding of who God has called us to be in the midst of that story, if it's about each part working properly to promote the body's growth and building itself up in love, if it's about that, I'm not sure I could think of a better thing or a more exciting thing to want to be a part of. So that's where we're headed this fall. Let's begin looking at the story that we tell by who we are, by who God has called us to be, by the gifts that God has given this church, these areas of ministry that we are called into. Our story in service of God's one story of Jesus Christ. That's where we're headed. Does that sound like a good plan? All right, good. I'm glad you said so. I'm glad you said so. Let's pray. Lord, for the gifts that we see that you have around us in this place, the gifts of each other, the gifts of time and talents and resources, the gifts of faithfulness that shows itself in so many ways throughout the life of this church and the people of this church. Lord, we give you thanks. Help us to see more clearly who you have called and who you are calling us to be, and the way you are calling us to be a part of the telling of that one great story that you are writing in Jesus Christ, the story of hope and love and redemption and salvation and forgiveness and grace, the story of Jesus being told here and around the world by your people, through all our stories coming together. Lord, give us eyes to see. And give us hearts to respond to who you are calling us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.